This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
And Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
Welcome along to The Score. We're back after an international break and we have four great guests on the way for you today. Ballymena United captain Colin Coates will be on the programme in just a moment. Joining him on today's show, Dundella's lone star Jordan Jenkins, sports journalist Keith Bailey and manager of Limavady United, Paul Owens. They are all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
It is good to be back. Did you miss us? We missed you. Well, I didn't have time to miss anything because there's no such thing as a break in an international break when you're working the games. But what a privileged position to be in. I have been very busy, quite in demand lately, and I am grateful for that. I have also, in recent days, become the chair of the Northern Ireland Football Writers Association, which is genuinely a real privilege to follow on from some incredible people who have done that in the next 2 years during my term as chair. I will do my very best to help as many people as I can in my capacity, but I just want to say thank you because a lot of people have reached out and sent very nice messages, which have left me a wee bit shocked and surprised by the whole thing, if I'm really honest, but very, very kind. And they haven't gone unnoticed. I've tried to reply to everybody. If I've not replied to you, I apologise. But I've tried my best to reply to every comment that I've seen. And exciting times ahead. Exciting stuff happening on this programme too. I can't announce anything yet, but we are in talks about something very big. I am thinking next month I should be able to tell you more. Hopefully sooner, but I would say in the next 3 or 4 weeks we should be able to move on that, so let's see. But before we get into our guest today, here's just quickly a run through of the fixtures taking place. One Friday night match that is live on the Beeb, Larne against Linfield. It sells itself really. That is a huge matchup at Inver Park, 7:45 kickoff. Four games at 3 o'clock on Saturday, Ballymena United against Loch Awe, Coleraine host Newry City, Glenavon, now without manager Gary Hamilton, are against Carrick Rangers, and Glentoran welcome Dungannon Swifts to the Oval. Whilst on Monday night at 7:45, it is the North Belfast Derby, live on Sky Sports, home advantage to Crusaders as they face their bitter foes Cliftonville Magic. Now, time to get into our guests, and we're starting with the Sky Blues and their captain, Colin Coates. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
I'm sure you're feeling even better now that finally, first win of the season, done and dusted. It must have been getting tiring being asked about it.
Yeah, it was. You know, you're sort of being asked from all quarters, you know, even in your sort of personal life, work life, all that sort of stuff. Everybody's, you know, asking why he's not winning any games. You know, he's sitting at the bottom of the league and stuff. And it starts to become a wee bit of a bit annoying, to be honest, you know, and the pressure does mount up the longer you go on without getting that first win. And you know, it's difficult to tell people that, you know, when you look at the games, the first five games, they were difficult games, but not even that, our performances and the vast majority of them were pretty decent, and we lost by the odd goal in quite a few of them, and late goals at that as well. So yeah, it was frustrating. And I think, suppose as well, looking back, we never really, Jim probably never really had his 11 maybe that he would want on the pitch. You know, I missed a few games of suspension. Young Roxy was out for a few games of suspension, and you know, one or two injuries as well. So there's been a bit of chopping and changing to the team. And you know, suppose that against Carrick on Saturday was probably the first time that he's maybe had, you know, the squad that he would have wanted, apart from maybe John McGuigan going into the game.
Now you can tell me how you think about this, but I'll be honest, when I saw the Knockbreda scoreline, which completely shocked me when they won 4-3 at Ballymena, for anyone that missed that game, sorry for the reminder, it's the County Antrim Shield, I text a friend and said Ballymena will beat Carrick on Saturday, and I'm sorry if that annoys any of my friends from Carrick, but it was just one of those results I went, there is no way they don't respond from that. What was it like for you? Because I'm sure it felt, to a degree, a little embarrassing, not to, you know, talk down Knockbreda, but they've had their own struggles this season.
Yeah, it was a really disappointing result, you know, and we'd probably get into that sort of losing mindset, you know, having lost the first six league games. It's very difficult to go into a game then, you know, albeit against a team from a lower division. You kind of almost go in expecting to win, and, you know, credit to Knockbreda, they scored two fantastic goals on the night, you know, to win the game, and when we'd got it back to 2-2, and, you know, it was even within that game, once we got it back to 2-2, we sort of took the foot off the gas again, and we just didn't do enough on the night. It was probably, in some ways, when you look back on it, it was maybe like that hitting rock bottom that you need before you can start to climb back up again, and it certainly galvanised the squad for the game against Carrick, and probably brought things into focus a wee bit more of what we needed to do and what we weren't doing enough of. And yeah, we certainly bounced back, and, you know, to be honest, I think if you'd asked any of the players or Jim, would you have taken a win in the County Antrim Shield or the league in that week, you know, would have much preferred, obviously, to get that win against Carrick than, as disappointing as it was to lose to Knockbreda, you know, at the end of the day, the County Antrim Shield is an opportunity to try and get your hands on some silverware, but, you know, you look at it, and the priority for us at the minute is picking up as many league points as we can.
And where you've maybe said here or there, haven't had a bit of luck in this match, haven't had a bit of luck in that match, you got a bit of luck with a penalty decision. I think we can all say it, haven't seen the replay back. Looked like Westendorf was fouled just outside the box, but referee pointed to the spot, and in fairness, the striker picked himself up and scored.
Yeah, you know, at the time I thought it was a penalty, and then, like you say, when you look at the highlights back, it looked like he was maybe half a yard just outside the box. But, you know, I think again on the highlights, there was one in the second half where Big Isaac was put through by Fraser Taylor when we were on the counter-attack, and he was flagged for offside when, again, the highlights showed that he was probably half a yard inside his own half and shouldn't have been flagged for offside. So, you know, it sort of swings and roundabouts, these decisions. You know, some are at the minute seem to be going for you and some seem to be going against you, and it's difficult. You just have to take the rough with the smooth, you know, and take your wee bits of luck when they come along. But I think in the first half, and particularly on Saturday, we created, you know, two or three other great chances, and, you know, Big Isaac up front was a real handful, and he stretched Ballymena, you know, with his pace and his power and his running in behind, and I thought he linked up with really well with young Fraser Taylor at times as well, and they carried a real threat, so hopefully they can build on that going forward.
Fraser Taylor seems to have made a decent impact. He's well thought of, I know, at his parent club.
Yeah, he's good, tidy wee footballer. You can see that, you know, he's been, you know, he's highly thought of at St Mirren, and, you know, Dermot O'Carroll thinks highly of him, and, you know, you can see the quality he has on the ball. Obviously, physically, he's quite small in stature, but he gets about the pitch, and he, you know, he's not afraid to put the foot in and tackle and win headers and all that side of the game. But when he gets on the ball, you can see he's got that wee bit of quality, and, you know, Big Isaac's maybe making those runs in behind, and you know, Fraser can certainly pick a pass to be able to find him. So, no, he's made a really good start to his time at Ballymena, and, you know, we're probably quite fortunate to have him, and, you know, I think we've got him until January, and, you know, hopefully he keeps going the way he's going, and we can extend that to the end of the season.
Going into the Loch Awe game now, you're now really able just to focus on a game of football, aren't you? I wonder whether, you know, in previous weeks it's constantly in the back of your mind somewhere, we can't lose today, whereas now it's kind of someone's hit a reset button for you nearly.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the first five games were difficult games, and it was disappointing not to get anything out of them. You know, you would be looking to pick up maybe a point or two here and there, you know, in different games, and it never happened. And then obviously going to Glenavon, you know, we've maybe seen that as an opportunity to get our first points on the board, and that didn't happen, and that was probably the most disappointing, you know, result in terms of the league so far. And our performance that day, and maybe bar the last 15 minutes when we had a bit of a go, wasn't great. So, no, we can just focus on the game now against Loch Awe and what we need to do. You know, we want to try and put a run together. You know, you're sort of looking at your next four league games. You know, we've got Loch Awe at home, Cliftonville at home, and then I think we've got Dungannon away, and then Newry at home. So you're looking at those games, you know, out, obviously taking Cliftonville maybe out there at top six side, but you're looking and going, there's an opportunity for us to pick up points and maybe build up a wee bit of momentum off the back of the result on Saturday. So, no, but we know how difficult it's going to be in every game. You know, they're all difficult games, and Loch Awe have got off to a flyer. You know, they've they've put it up to every team they've played, and they've picked up a nice points return so far. So they'll be looking at us and going, there's an opportunity for us to go and get another 3 points on the board and keep their good start going. So we can only really focus on ourselves and making sure that we hit the heights that we hit on Saturday. The same endeavour, the same determination, and hopefully that, you know, those players, your likes of Isaacs and Isaac Vesendorf and, you know, young Fraser Taylor, those type of players can bring up a wee bit of quality that we need to try and, you know, get us something up the other end of the pitch, and, you know, then keep the back door shut and hopefully give us a chance of getting a result.
Did I hear Vesendorf? Is that, should we not be saying Westendorf?
I'm not sure. I don't to be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe it is Westendorf. I'll have to ask him maybe in training to see how to pronounce it. But yeah, I think he's got a Dutch background maybe, or a German background, so I think in those cases maybe a W, maybe you pronounce it a V, who knows. I'll ask.
I like that, and I will appreciate that text message. I'm not even being facetious. These are the weird things us commentators obsess over. Yeah, Loch All, you know, 6 games, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats. Brilliant start to the top flight for them under Dean Smith. And do you know what? I think they're going to give you a really good game here on Saturday.
100%. You know, it's a really, really tough game. You know, if you're looking at it on paper, you know, and previous results, they would probably win the game as favourites. So, you know, they're riding that wave of, you know, newly promoted team. We've seen it in the past. You know, remember Ballinamallard when they first came up into the Premier League? I think they were sitting fourth in the league for a long period of time. And you know, you see it every year with the teams that come up. They've got that sort of novelty factor and the enthusiasm of playing against the teams that, you know, your Glentorns and Linfields and Crusaders. And, you know, an unbelievable result for them. You know, last time out against Crusaders at Seaview, not too many people go there and leave with anything. So we know how difficult it's going to be. They're a big, strong, physical side. They'll play to their strengths. They'll make it extremely difficult for us. You know, you'll not get any time on the ball, and they've got players who can hurt you from all over, whether it's set pieces or from open play. So there's loads of threats, loads of things to be wary of. But again, you know, there's not really much we can do about Loch All. We just need to focus on ourselves and make sure that, you know, we need to be putting in performances, you know, as individuals that are 7, 8, 9 out of 10 every week for us to go and get results in this league.
A few minutes ago you mentioned Glenavon and the result you had there. The big news out of Glenavon this week is, you know, your former manager Gary Hamilton, he is out of a job now. They're looking for a replacement. Were you shocked when you heard the news?
Probably not shocked, as in, you know, you sort of read and hear things, you know, across social media, and, you know, and there's sort of been grumblings, if you like, amongst the Glenavon support maybe for the last year or so. You know, maybe they've become slightly disillusioned with the league and as a whole. You know, it's very difficult now. You know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Glenavon were, you know, a notorious top six team under Gary Hamilton, and at times were finishing the top three and qualifying for Europe. And the landscape's changed over the last few years with the investments around Glentoran, Larne. You know, these clubs have pushed on, and it's kind of pushed Glenavon down the league a wee bit and made life a lot more difficult for them. So I think, you know, fans have become a bit disgruntled with their sort of league positions over the last few years, but have been, you know, sort of willing to accept it. But I think obviously the start of this year has, similar to yourselves with Ballymena, it hasn't been a great start for them, and there's been no sort of murmurings from the support, and whatever's went on behind the scenes, I don't know, between the board and Gary, and whatever agreement they've came to or whatever, you know, has happened, they've decided to part ways. And you know, I'm not, you know, Gary's been there a long time, 12 years is a long time in a club, to keep energising herself and keep, you know, reinventing team after team. You know, you look at the players that he's lost over the years and have gone on to the inverted commas bigger clubs, if you like, and went on to bigger and better things. He's had to keep reinventing, you know, that team, and it's probably became more and more difficult as wages have inflated. You know, competition for player signatures has increased. So, you know, it's maybe not a bad time for Gary to take a step back, you know, and recharge his batteries and come back at another club, because I'm sure another club will be very keen to get the services of Gary Hambledon, you know, given his experience and the success he had at Glenavon. But, you know, it's a good opportunity for him to recharge his batteries and come back in the next, you know, sort of whatever that may be, weeks, months, or whatever the case is, and ready to get stuck into a new challenge. And I suppose from Glenavon's point of view, it's an opportunity for them to bring someone in. It's a massive appointment, you know. It's always very difficult for a club to appoint someone after a long-serving manager, you know, such as Gary Hamilton, because, you know, it can be difficult. That shadow will hang over the next manager, I'm sure, for a period of time, and there's supposed to be a demand there to improve the product on the pitch. You know, as quickly as possible, and if that doesn't happen, it can be very difficult. So yeah, without knowing the ins and outs of what's going on, I think maybe, you know, just looking at it from the outside, it's maybe not a bad thing, as it might not seem like it at the minute, but it might not be a bad thing for Gary just to take a step back, recharge, and look to see what else he can get involved in the future.
And whilst I'm asking you about former clubs, two of them meeting on Monday, North Belfast Derby. You've spoken many times about your memories down through the years of those matches. They're always mouth-watering. I know I was talking to someone from Crusaders earlier this week, and they were saying, honestly, I just can't wait already.
Yeah, they're fantastic games, you know, and I've probably been in the unusual position of experiencing it from both sides of the fence, if you like, and you know they're equally as passionate on either side, and they're games that, I suppose, now that I'm not at a North Belfast club, there'll be one of the games that you'll miss being involved in. You know, they're high octane stuff. You know, the tackles are flying in, and you know the crowd's right on top of you at both grounds. You know, particularly in Seaview, the crowd's right on top of you, and the atmosphere is always, you know, fever pitch, and it's brilliant. They're great games to be involved in, and two good teams as well, you know, two teams flying at the top end of the table, and the points are crucial, and I think that's what adds to the derby too, you know, when the teams are so evenly matched, and the points are much needed from both teams. You know, Cliftonville obviously have lost five of their last six in all competitions, so you know, after a really, really strong start there, maybe not hit, sort of wobbled a wee bit, you know, in terms of results, I'm led to believe by and large performances have been pretty good in most games, but the results just haven't matched it. And, you know, Crusaders have come off the back of two draws, you know, to Glentoran and Loughall, so both teams will be looking 3 points in it, you know, to get themselves back on the, because both teams will have aspirations of challenging for the league title, and you know, both teams will probably be looking very much to get 3 points to get that back on track, and it all makes, you know, for a mouth-watering game, you know, with it live on Sky as well, and everything that goes with that. So yeah, it's a big, big occasion for both clubs, and games that as a player you just love to be involved in.
And lastly, I saw that Crusaders have announced Billy Joe Burns is going to start his testimonial season, and you know, in the turn of the year, what a player he's been for them.
Yeah, he's been brilliant, Billy Joe. You know, I remember him coming in the Crusaders when he was let go or left Linfield or whatever the case may be, and you know, being surprised that we were able to get him at that time, and he's been brilliant ever since. You know, was involved in the three title winning teams that we had in the sort of mid 2010s, and he was fantastic. You know, in my opinion, the best right back in the league, and probably, you know, the best right back I've played with, and a brilliant player. And you know, as he gets on a wee bit in years, he's still able to produce those high level performances, and you know, he captains the team now as well, so you know, I know all the other players look up to him as well. You know, he's a really nice guy, and he deserves his testimonial. You know, it just seems like a Crusaders, there's been a testimonial year after year for the last 4 or 5 years, and I think that just shows the, you know, the caliber of player that they've had. You know, to be able to have players like Paul Heatley, Jordan Owens, Declan Goodell, you know, and now Billy Joe, just year after year having their testimonials, and you'll probably have Jordan Forsyth next year. You know, so it just shows what the success that they've had over the last few years to be able to keep those players for that period of time, and how much they enjoy playing at Crusaders, and nobody deserves it more than Billy Joe.
Stephen Baxter's obviously created that right environment to get the Isle legs still motoring on. Maybe other teams will need to tap into his secrets some stage. Coatsy, great to have you on. Always enjoy chatting to you, and good luck for the weekend.
Brilliant, Michael. Thank you. Good to chat to you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Okay, great to get some Premiership thoughts there from Colin Coates. Now let's head into the Championship, and a player who, it doesn't matter where he's playing, he will score you goals and he will give 100%. I think he's been doing brilliantly so far with Dundella, so a good time to be talking to Jordan Jenkins. First time on the show. Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Well, great to have you on, and as I say, you know, hit the ground running at the Duns. How are you enjoying life so far there?
Yeah, it's good. I'm just glad to be playing again, and scoring goals is just what I want to be doing, and Dundal had a lot of faith in getting me into the club, so it feels good to feel wanted, so I'm just glad to be there and repaying back by scoring goals and helping them win games.
six games into the season, and it's yourselves and Newington who have won five of those matches, same record, lost a game each. You've also both scored 14 goals. It's literally just the difference of two goals conceded separating you in goal difference. I know it's early days, but it is, you know, funny how teams can mirror each other, and of course now you're playing against them this weekend, so that's an exciting match.
It'll be a good match. They've started well, like ourselves, but it's early on in the season. You just take each game as it comes, and you don't look too far into it all being top of the table clash. You just take each game as it comes, and obviously you have to play everyone a couple of times during the season, so there'll be more interesting games, and the bigger teams, it doesn't always seem like it'll be a better team or a better game, because anyone can beat anyone in the league, so you just have to go out, do your thing and beat everyone, and then see how you end up at the end of the season.
And the one game that Dundella lost, I don't think you were involved at that stage, so are you the catalyst?
No, I wasn't there, but look, I'm just in to try and help them do as well as possible and help the team by moving up the table. And like, I joined the team because I want to help them do well, and obviously people will be saying, oh, you don't want to say too early on about winning the titles, but that's the reason why I came to Dundalk. I want to help them push on and try and get a promotion challenge or even go for a title challenge themselves, because there's no point getting into a team and not expecting big things or wanting to prove big things to people. So we'll just see how the season goes and just take each game as it comes.
And your parent club is Glentoran. You are, you know, what is it, your third loan of the year, the calendar year now. That must be tough, trying to settle in, and, you know, when these opportunities are coming up to get more game time. What's going through your mind when you're having that conversation and you know, your club are saying, we think a loan would be good for you here? Is it difficult as a player?
Yeah, mentally, it's draining as much as, like, you enjoy playing, but when you get told you're going out on loan, you think, what am I doing wrong? You just don't seem like you're doing anything right. But I feel like I've worked hard and I've proved myself many times I've went on loan. Maybe I didn't score as many as I would have liked at Portadown and Dungannon, but I thought that when I went there, I was a vital player in each team, and I played well majority of the time that I was there. I don't think I really had any bad games, but I didn't score enough, which people look at that on my record. So I sort of, it's draining being out and loan three times in 1 year, because it does look bad in your reputation, but I just want to play games, and if I'm not going to play at Glentoran, then the best thing for me to do is to go out and play and prove that I can play and can score goals. So you just have to look past all the loan thing, and you just have to fit in as quick as possible and do your thing and score goals.
Well, what I would say is, when, you know, teams have good things to say about you at the end of your loan, when you are showing just a hunger to go and play football, which is so refreshing in an age where there's lots of footballers who appear to be happy to never actually play football in the world, and I'm not just talking Northern Ireland, I'm talking the world over. People like to see somebody like yourself, and you're very young. I mean, what are you, 23, Jordan?
Yeah.
23 years of age, going out and wanting to play a game of football every week. I think that's to be admired.
Yeah, well, like, people think it's young, but it's a short career in football, and 23, you've literally only roughly 10 to 11 years in your prime, like, so I just want to play as many games as possible, and I don't feel like sitting on a bench or being in the stands is beneficial for me. So if I have to go out and loan or eventually end up moving on, then I just want to play games and do what's best for me, because I don't think I deserve to be sitting on a bench or sitting in the stands. I'd rather be playing every week and trying to improve and scoring as many goals as possible.
Well, everyone wants a player with that attitude. Your football journey, tell me a wee bit about yourself, really. You know, where did your love of football come from, and who's kind of helped you on the way to get to where you are now?
Well, I started off at Redray Rovers through my youth career, and then Andy Mawson, sort of, he was part of that, and then he went on to Glenavon, and he brought me to Glenavon, and I have a good 5-6 years at Glenavon, and then unfortunately sometimes things don't work out and you just end up moving on. Had a loan at Carrick. Don't think, well, I know myself that my loan at Carrick didn't go as well as I would have liked, and that's something I always reflect on, because you want to go out and loan and prove yourself, but I know for a fact that that Carrick loan, I didn't do myself any justice because I didn't play as well as I would have liked. And then I ended up joining Glens, and now I'm on my third loan in 3 years, like, so I'm just trying to get myself back playing, prove to people that I'm good enough to play for whoever I'm at, and that I deserve to be playing and get the chance to prove myself.
And how good has Stephen Gurley been for you at Dundella?
Yeah, Stephen's been brilliant. He was on the phone constantly for a couple of days to try and get me in, and he was doing everything possible to get me into the club, and that's all you want as a player, when a manager wants you and you feel like they really want you to be part of the team and help the team kick on, then you can't really turn around and say no, because all you really want is a good relationship with a manager who makes you feel wanted and part of the team.
And talk to me about your teammates. Obviously some experienced heads in there, but for anyone that you know, might not know everybody that's at Dundalk, give us a wee run through some of the characters.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of experience. So you've got Jay McGee, you've Tony, you've Jamie McGovern. So there's a lot of experienced players, and I played with players with like Andy Hall and stuff throughout my career. So it's a mixture of experienced players and a lot of young players, but we have a strong enough squad this year where I think we could really kick on and do something good this season.
And who would you say is the class clown? Have you got to know them that well yet to know who the Rakers are?
There's a few Rakers, but we'll not mention any names.
That's probably a good way to keep in with people. That's okay. Looking at the Newington game, just finally, what are your thoughts going into this one at Inver Park? Because as you say, they can sometimes the games that get the big billing can be cagey affairs. I'm sure somewhat selfishly you'll go, well, if I can get myself a goal or if we can get the win, that'll do, and who cares about the quality of the game overall. But you know, what are you thinking Newington are going to offer in this match?
Well, it'll be a tough game. They're not joint top with us for out of luck, like they've been flying this season, so it'll be a good game. As you say, most top games end up being cagey affairs, but yeah, just really look to put in a good performance and work hard and come away with no less than a draw. So you just hope to win and get a draw and don't end up getting beat.
And playing football with a smile on your face makes life a lot easier. I get that feeling that you feel quite settled even at this early stage at the club.
Yeah, as I said many times, you just want to feel wanted at the club and you just want to play every week, and I feel like I'm getting into the rhythm of playing every week now again, and the chances will come and the goals will come. So I know for a fact that when I'm playing and I'm at my best, I'm going to score goals.
So have you set yourself a little personal target?
Yeah, well, you always have to have targets and you have to keep goals in your mind that you want to set for the season, and I'm hoping to achieve what I've set out to do. So hopefully that'll sort of kickstart my name being out there again, and then we'll see what happens when the season finishes.
So is there a specific number of goals in mind, or do you not want to share that?
Oh, I don't mind sharing it. I want to hit at least 20 or 30 goals this season in all competitions.
Brilliant. What are you on at the moment?
3 and 4 games.
Well, you keep going like that. That's a handy ratio. You'll meet your target. So fair play to you, Jordan. I love the determination. It really comes across, the hunger that you have. And it's been great having you on the show this week. So thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, thank you, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, it is time to welcome Keith Bailey back onto the programme for the first time this season. Sports journalist and friend of the show. Keith, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Michael. Good to be on the Score again.
great to have you on, and plenty to get through, but let's start with the big breaking story from the Irish League this week, which was first reported in the Belltale, your paper, which is Gary Hamilton is no longer the manager of Glenavon. I didn't know that was allowed. It just felt like, you know, he had to stay there forever, but that's a huge bit of news this week. How are fans, do you think, reacting to this one?
Yeah, it's interesting you call it breaking news. It's kind of been the most slow breaking story of all time. It's kind of came through in dribs and drabs over the last 4 days. But it's obviously a massive story, and, you know, mixed emotions amongst the Glenavon support. Obviously, there's a lot of fondness there for Gary Hamilton. Fondness probably sells it short. You know, he's King Gary of Morondew. He was loved and revered for a long period of time there. He won 2 Irish Cups, European qualifications in the mix there as well. And in recent years, they finished 7th 4 years in a row, which doesn't seem that impressive. But when you consider how far the top 6 have pulled away from the rest of the league, it was maybe realistically as much as they could hope for, certainly in the last couple of years. So a mixed bag, because fans are sorry to see him go, in the sense that they have a lot of fondness for him, a lot of time for him. But at the same time, there's maybe a recognition there that results this season haven't been great. They've only won 1 of their opening first 7 league games. It's a difficult start of the season, and it's hard to see it getting much better. It'll be interesting to see if a new man can change things or turn things around. I get the sense that maybe both for Glenavon and both for and for Gary Hamilton, that maybe things have gone a little bit stale, and actually a change of scenery for both the manager and the club might not be a bad thing.
There are those that will point to the record that he had, and those third place finishes. He had 4 of those in a 5-year period. There was that incredible time under him, and, you know, whether he gets the full recognition he deserves, because since then investment has come in. So, you know, stand to reason that clubs that don't have the same financial clout would slip further down.
Yeah, this is it. We're in a situation now where the top 6 is fairly well cemented, and I find it hard to see when we're going to get a point where that top 6 changes. I think it's going to take either a team that's currently outside top 6 to have big investment put into them. Maybe that's going to happen with Carrick Rangers. We're not quite sure the details of that takeover yet. Or one of the current top 6 gets itself into some sort of financial peril and falls out that way. As things stand, it seems fairly set in stone. And for a club like Glenavon, you know, I'm not sure there's a manager out there in the world that'll take them into the top 6 at the moment. That's kind of a sad reality. There's a lot of things to celebrate and are good about Irish football at the moment, but if there is a trend that's worrying, it's that top 6 seems almost impossible to break into. So you have to say that in the last couple of seasons, 7th finish for Glenavon under Gary Hamilton isn't bad going. But then you also need to take a step back and go, it's pretty mundane stuff for Glenavon fans in recent years. You know, finishing 7th 4 years in a row, that's pretty dull, isn't it? You know, there's not much to get excited about there. You've got the European playoffs at the end of the season. But, you know, realistically, they were always big outsiders in that system, and so it proved. I find it very difficult to see a new man changing it, but it also wasn't going to change under Gary Hamilton, so it was a bit of a strange conundrum. I have to say, some people talk about relegation. I don't think Glenavon were going to... I know they're 11th in the league at the moment, but under Gary, I'm sure they would have pulled away from that. And under a new manager, I'm sure they'll pull away from it as well. So, yeah, it's difficult times for Glenavon.
Well, that's the obvious next question, isn't it? Who is likely to be the next manager, and do Glenavon have somebody in mind for them to make this decision and the timing of it?
Well, that's a thing. You know, I've seen it suggested that surely Glenavon must have somebody lined up. I mean, maybe. I don't necessarily think so. This whole thing has dragged out over a few days, and, you know, I've seen the Glenavon board get a bit of criticism, and I've seen Gary Hamilton get some criticism as well. And what you need to remember is, at that point, whenever it was Sunday or Monday, whenever it was decided that Gary Hamilton was not going to be the man to take charge against Carrick Rangers on Saturday, you know, at that point it becomes about money. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. It's just reality. Gary Hamilton's a man. He's a full-time football manager. It's his sole source of income. So naturally, he's going to want to try and get as much money as he can for himself and for his family from those negotiations. And the flip side of that, you've got Glenalvin, Adrian Tier, the chairman. They have to look after the financial side of their club, so they're going to try and, you know, give as little money as they can get away with to the manager for the sake of the club. So it was just a negotiation process that lasted a few days, and I think there's nothing. I don't think anybody on either side of that coin is doing anything wrong. They're just looking after their own interests, and that's part and parcel of football. In terms of a replacement for Gary Hamilton, well, you know, it's. There isn't an immediate name that jumps to mind. I mean, a lot of people have seen, say, David Jeffrey. This, my information is David Jeffrey isn't interested in taking on another job at this time. Maybe that'll change, I don't know, but I would be very surprised if he took the Glenalvon job. And other names have been mentioned. Chris Lindsay's one. Well, he has a job at the IFA. Is he going to be prepared to walk away from that to take a role at Glenalvon as manager? That would be a difficult decision. Darren Mullen's been mentioned, did a fantastic job in Newry City. But obviously he's very, you know, that job meant a lot to him because he's a Newry City fan. He also left that Newry job. Part of the reason he gave at the time was because he had further work commitments in his 9-to-5 than he did previously. So that's unlikely to have changed in a few months. So would he be interested? Maybe not. So there's not really an obvious pick out there. Dean Shields is obviously available after leaving Dungannon, but you know, Glenalvon going to be interested in somebody that took Dungannon to 11th? Maybe not. So there isn't an obvious answer. I'm not sure what you think, Michael.
That's a very interesting one. The thing I would say about any manager, you know, that might have said at work commitments, if they were to say, look, this is a full-time position and here's your salary, they might be able to work something out there. You know, let's use Glenalvon as the perfect example. A lot of people said that their top goal scorer last season wouldn't want to go to full-time football because he had a job as a teacher. We saw how quickly that was rectified once the right deal was in place for everybody. So I'm of the never say never, and I'm not suggesting I know something about Darren Mullen or circumstances there, but I think he's, in my mind, one of the front runners. Whether that's something Darren or the club decides to go with, I don't know.
Yeah, Darren Mullen would be very interesting. It would be very interesting to see him managing somebody who isn't Newry City, because he's one of those managers, and we've had them down the years, who they seem so tightly connected to their club. Barry Gray at Warren Point Town would be an example. You go back years, maybe Roy McCready at Oma Town, go back years, Paul Key at Institute, who just seems so tightly connected to their club that in that moment it seems difficult to manage. Seeing the man somewhere else sounds odd, but it'd be really interesting to see what Darren Mullen could do at a different club other than Newry City, because he had great success there.
Now, let's talk about some other clubs. This week we have seen teams announce that they have got funding and they have big plans. Can you tell us more about what's going on?
Well, it's great to see, isn't it? Some funding coming in the Irish League. We've been waiting for this $36 million for over a decade now to come forward from the executive, and while we don't have an executive, it's good to see that at least some funding has came forward, even if it is pretty small beer compared to what we talked about in the past. I think one that really stands out to me is the new 3D pitch for Moorland Park at their Mill Meadow ground in Castle Dawson. For those who don't know, that's already a 3D pitch and has been for a decade, but it failed its test last year, and Moorland Park are currently sharing with Coleraine. So it'll be great for Moorland Park to get back to Castle Dawson and get back to Mill Meadow with a new 3D pitch there, because I'm sure it's been a real struggle for a small club to have to travel for home games, and that's likely to be the case for the rest of the season before the new pitch goes in. So it's been a difficult period for that club, so I think it's a positive thing to see a 3D pitch going in there. Also by Clare Comrades, Dixon Park is a grass pitch. You know, it's not a bad pitch in a sense. It's one of those ones that you see a photograph of and it always looks the part, but it's a bit on the bumpy side and it can cut up on a rainy day, and obviously it's expensive to maintain. So I think for Ballyclare, that's a big boost to get in a 3G ground, and actually in that area, in the Ballyclare area and surrounding areas, there aren't that many 3G pitches, so it's got the potential to be a huge community resource. So I think that's fantastic news for two clubs outside the top flight. Often when we talk about the funding, particularly the much talked about $36 million, the focus is all on Premiership clubs. I think it's really important that we don't let Championship and PIL clubs become left behind. So I really welcome the decision for those clubs to get a few pounds in their pocket and improve their facilities.
Well, that's a very good point. And the other thing to add to that as well is the potential for clubs when they have, you know, an artificial pitch. I know people have their opinions and preferences and all the rest of it, but it does allow additional revenue streams then for those clubs. It allows them to centralise where they do their training and maybe not need to hire somewhere else. And it also allows them to open their doors more to the community outside of match days, which might in turn grow their fan base. So from a business perspective, there's a lot of exciting prospects here potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen that it's allowed Cliftonville and Crusaders to grow. You touched upon something there about training that's pretty relevant. I think when people think of 3G pitches, how clubs make their money on it is by renting it out to, you know, five sides and you know, other clubs. But there's also an element of actually saving money because you're not having to pay out the same fees for all your youth teams if you can accommodate them in your own ground throughout the week. So it's a great community resource. It brings people into those clubs. It gets them, you know, on the pitch. I mean, the idea of kind of playing on an Irish League pitch when I was a kid was just something that didn't happen. You know, it took you to your primary school team to get to the cup final of the local tournament before you ever got near an Irish League pitch. You know, now most kids get the chance to play on them. And I think that's a good thing. It brings them into the ground and it brings, you know, into the family of that club. So I think it can only be a positive thing.
Well, I remember in a cup match as Carrick Rangers Colts being allowed to play in Inver Park back when it was an old slanty pitch, and it didn't feel like the real treat that it probably should have done.
You run uphill or downhill out there.
Sadly, and this is probably why we lost, I was brought on as a sub having started every other game, and that was the one that we got beaten in and got knocked out. So yeah, only got to run up the hill that day, Keith. Speaking of uphill battles, are the Irish FA facing one this week? They've had to come out and issue a statement after their record goal scorer David Healy criticised them on TV after Northern Ireland's defeat against Kazakhstan.
Yeah, strong stuff from David Healy. You know, he's clearly put a bit of thought into that. That wasn't something that just popped into the top of his head. It was a thought out, preemptive attack. He knew what he wanted to say, and he said it well. You know, is he right? Yeah, of course. He made some very valid points. It's not good enough that Northern Ireland doesn't have its own training centre when you look at how influential something like Dragons Park in Wales has been. You know, to have a centralised place where, you know, that has top quality facilities that is our own rather than random, you know, new forge or facilities at Dub and at Queen's, I think could only be a positive thing. It's something that really should have happened years ago, and here we are, we're still waiting for it. And it's pretty clear from the IFA statement that came out on Wednesday night that, like, while they're talking about it, it still feels some time away. So, you know, he's raised a very valid point there, and you can never quite make direct links between these things, but it is noticeable that, like, the Northern Ireland, both the men's and women's squad, really lacks players who are currently, you know, in their kind of mid to late 20s. And we had a really great crop of players, again, in both men's and women's football, born in the 80s, you know, David Healy's era, and then a little bit after that, from right through from Aaron Hughes, Chris Brunt, and similar figures in the women's game. Not really a whole heap has came through in the kind of mid to late 90s. Now, thankfully, now we've got some good young players coming through, but there was a gap there, and it's probably, I mean, it's no doubt that's part of the reason that we're struggling. And it's hard to know what exactly caused that, but we've really created very few Northern Irish born elite level players in that era. So, I mean, hopefully with the you know, the IFA point to the JD Academy, which, you know, in the statement that said it started in 2018, actually the precursor to that club NI has been going for a decade. So hopefully with that in place, we'll see more players coming through. And we've already had two or three from the JD Academy move into the first team, into the senior men's team. So hopefully there's more to follow. But yeah, we definitely have struggled to create our own players. Some of the most exciting players in the Northern Ireland squad now are English born. I've qualified through eligibility, so it's not been a great era for player development in North Ireland.
And I've seen people saying, well, you know, look at, we've got to World Cups without these wonderful things, it's just an excuse now. People naturally, when things aren't going well, will look for reasons, but even if it isn't the sole cause for any perceived slump, I think that the bigger point behind it all is, let's give players the best chance to succeed, and to do that they need better facilities, so we should always be asking for more, especially when this is something that's been talked about for quite a while now. It's not anything new.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're quite right. It's one of those ones that it's something that you would think we should have a decade ago. You know, you talk about like the influence of places like Clairefontaine, you know, that the French put that in place. They kind of led the way with this. Clairefontaine's been up and running since the early 90s. So, you know, we're well behind the trend. That's what inspired England to open St. George's Park. So again, we haven't quite got on that train yet, or on that trend, and we're in danger of being left behind because of it. I think we already have been in many ways. So it's a very valid point that David Healy raised, and it's one of those ones that it carried a lot more weight for being raised by the nation's record goal scorer rather than a journalist or a fan on social media. You know, it carried a bit of clout, and it set the, you know, it obviously was a difficult one for the IFA to deal with. I mean, I find these situations, it's a little frustrating that we don't see interviews from the likes of Conor Kirkwood or Patrick Nelson. I mean, we've got this statement that's on the IFA website, but it's kind of faceless when it's a statement like that. You know, it would be far better to have a senior figure within the IFA available for interview, for the newspapers or for, you know, the broadcasters, to so fans can see their face and put, you know, kind of put those words to your mouth. At the moment, that's kind of, you know, it reads a bit middle management, that statement.
The easiest way to reassure people is to come out and talk to people and let them, I guess, understand you a bit better. People maybe are worried about the questions that come with that, I don't know. Just to also mention, when we were talking about funding, people calling out for funding across various clubs and infrastructures in Northern Ireland, Coleraine have secured £400,000 from an IFA DCMS Grassroots Community Football Grant, which they say is going to revolutionise the offering for players and youth teams, to allow them to have top quality facilities and allow them to get their best on the pitch, and that's always exciting news too. I guess interested to see, Keith, whether there's going to be more announcements in the next few days from more teams with pots of money, and whether that'll help anybody disrupt the current disruptors.
Yeah, well, listen, I think anyone who comes into football in Northern Ireland has got to be welcome, so it's good to see a little bit of progress on that front, but it's not enough. We need this money from the executive, and it shouldn't be 36 million, it should be far more than that. It should be increased in line with inflation, at the very least, from what it was when it was first muted in 2011.
And finally, some huge games this weekend. Just wondering your thoughts on them. Can I get a prediction for the match between Larne and Linfield later on? Who do you see coming out on top at Inver Park? It's live on BBC Two as well, for anyone not able to get to the game.
Well, let's just hope we get a cracking match, because it's on BBC Two, which means, you know, more so than the streaming, or more so than being on Sky Sports, that it's open to a big audience. So it would be great to have a superb game, because the last time the two game teams clashed at Inver Park, it was a big occasion for Larne, but a 0-0 draw wasn't really one to remember for the neutral. So I'm hoping for a great game. It's very, very difficult to call them. Field have been in decent form, but Larne, you know, they've still impressed as well. Nobody's really like thrown down the gauntlet so far this season and said we're the best team in the league. That's still kind of up for grabs, and I expect it will kind of be that way until we get into the second half of the season. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a draw. I'll sit on the fence and say 1-1.
Okay, on the fence and 1-1, and I'll not make you do every game of the weekend, you'll be glad to hear, but the North Belfast Derby on Monday is on Sky, so what is going to happen between Crusaders and Cliftonville? Are we going for a high-scoring draw, or are you backing someone to get the 3 points?
I fancy the Crews. I've been really impressed with Crusaders so far this year. I know they dropped points against Loughgall, and that was a blow, but like, actually, you have to just give credit to Loughgall for that one. You know, Dean Smith's put together a kind of a defensively astute team who never say die, even after a red card, so I wouldn't hold that one against them. Ben Kennedy's in great form, and Crusaders in general are playing well. They were superb in Europe, and they've just rolled that into the new season. So I'm gonna say a 2-1 win for the Crews.
Okay, thank you. By the way, it was 1-1 the last time they played at Inver Park. It was 0-0 the time before that, just before a pedant jumps on one of us. Keith, great to have you on the show as always. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now let's get our final guest of the show onto the programme, and what form they have been in the league alone. 3 games played, 3 games won, 22 goals scored, and just 2 conceded. Sure, it'll be like that every week, won't it? Here's the Limavady United manager, Paul Owens. Paul, I'm joking straight from the start, but you must be absolutely delighted with how things are going.
Yes, delighted, Michael. Obviously, it's only a start, and like we're only 6 games in, but as you mentioned there, league, like you're 26 league games and we're only 3 in, so like there's a long, long way to go. And as we all know, and the squad and everybody is in the same mindset that, you know, it's only 3 games, it's only a start, and we just got to keep continuing the form as best we can.
Even with all the preparation that you do going into a season, you can't anticipate you're going to start as well as you have, can you?
No, we can't. And the thing about Championship 2, there's like we won a game on Saturday, which was, I think it was the 9th of September, and our next league game isn't until the 7th of October. So I think it was a Thursday night before the season. We had just a wee chat and a bit of food and stuff, and we had mentioned we need to get to this point because there's a 1 month break, and you just didn't want a bad taste for a month in terms of dropping silly points. And we had called it phase one, really, to try and get to this point with the 9 points. And, you know, going on to Saturday, we had 6 out of 6, but, and like, yes, we scored a lot of goals in league and cup, but for me, if we had dropped any sort of points on Saturday, it would have been a difficult month for me, just thinking, listen, we're not playing catch-up, but we've dropped maybe silly points. So the big message was to try and get to the end of phase one, really, with maximum points. And luckily, yes, the goals have been great, but listen, 1-0, 4-0, 6-0, 7-0, whatever it is, you only get your 3 points. So we're exactly where we wanted to be at this point, but, you know, that's basically on the phase two now. And there's as I'm sure you maybe know, there's in October, there's a mountain of huge fixtures coming up, so that'll maybe tell a tale as well.
Looking at it, ruthless in front of goal, how much of that is down to just simply the personnel that you have, or is there a change in mentality here that's, I guess, facilitating it?
Well, I personally would like to think the personnel we've signed and brought to the club has been brilliant, but from, like, I came in the start of December, and, you know, ruthless is the word that I've been using, and, you know, whenever we're on top of games, we've got to finish games off, and there was just 2 or 3 games, like, I think it was even Distillery, you'll probably remember their goalkeeper scored a 93rd or 4th minute penalty, and, like, we had huge, huge chances in that game to finish the game off. So, as much, like, as we'd done reasonably well last year, like, the big word, we use killers in the change room and ruthlessness, and that's the kind of things we do. Whenever we're on top of games, we've been battering at home the whole pre-season, and, you know, thankfully that's exactly the way the season's been so far. Played some lovely football, there's no doubt, but, you know, whenever the chances are coming now, you know, boys are starting to step up and we're starting to see that hunger. I just thought there was a wee bit of mentality that it was just a wee bit in front of goal, we'll get the next one, whenever we're just trying to make sure whenever the opportunities come that, you know, we smell blood and we make sure that we finish games as soon as we can. And that's thankfully the way the season's went so far.
And there's, well, more than one player putting in sterling performances. But in many ways, I'm sure Coleraine fans will be having a little look and going, do you know what? Ian Parkhill banging in goals left, right and centre. Probably putting a smile on quite a lot of their faces.
There was a comment and all. Somebody says already they wish he was back in Coleraine. I see they sent me that. But when I came on, I had a wee nibble at Parker in January, I would obviously work with him at Coleraine, but I just knew that, like, we're very, very inexperienced squad. There was nobody really won any trophies in that until I got to this transfer window. And Parker's been about, you know, been about the Irish League years, but it's not just only on the pitch. The standards they set to training, just just like he's even in charge of fines. We saw things together. He's just really, really good. He's a bubbly personality, and you know the quality he brings to every training session and every match so far is just, that's really infectious for me. His work is brilliant. We have them GPS pods, and he's leading the line with them at 33 years of age. And he would maybe send me the odd text about it. Look, I'm still on top of that, but no, he's just brilliant. He has been, and not only him, there's been like four or five big signings. Graham Crowns came in with Premier League and Championship experience at the back. Matty Walker, although he's a young lad, he played, you know, he done really well at Stute last year in the Championship and earned a move to Portadown. Joe McCready was really successful when I was here the last time, and you know, he was captain at Dungannon at spells last year, so he's been a big addition as well. So things are moving. The transfer one has been very kind, yes, but you know, the current players from last year as well, like there's a real notable improvement and basically all of them, and that's just been honest. Everybody's really stepped up, so the standards are up in training with the signings that have come in, but you know, the boys that were here last year have really stepped up to mark as well, which is brilliant.
Who do you see as the big threats? I mean, Warren Point Town are going to be the obvious one, aren't they? They thought they were going to be moving in a different direction, and we all know what's happened. I don't want to, you know, go over old ground there, but they're certainly one of the teams people are going to be saying should be there or thereabouts come the end of it.
Well, like, I think anybody finishes above Warren Point will win the league. I don't see them being outside of it. And, you know, we finished fourth last year. Like, and Bally McCash, you've done really well. They just missed out in the playoffs. They've strengthened. Like, they have a lot of signings coming on. You've Queens, who I was really, really impressed with last year. They finished ahead of us as well. And then, obviously, you know, Warren Point coming on the league. So, for me, that's four real big threats with ourselves. And Miola have strengthened. Distillery have strengthened really well with Conor McDermott and was it Gorman from Cliftonville as well. So, like, I do see five or six teams that are probably all the aspirations have gone up this year. Like, that's not going to be easy.
And you're not going to let up on your players and let anybody feel too good about, you know, three wins from three, because as you say, there's still so many games to be played.
Yeah, all massive. And you know, these cup, like, we have a big, I mentioned earlier, we have a big month in October. We have two Irish Cup and Intermediate Cup over the next 2 weeks, and then we have a quarter final at Craig Memorial, followed by a League Cup game against Dundella, followed by that's on a Tuesday, followed by Warren Point away on the Saturday, then followed by Ballinamallard on a semi-final on the Tuesday, and then a Friday night game in the league as well. So it's going to be really, really busy. And like, I do have a strong squad, there's no doubt about that. I'm really happy with the squad situation. And you know, everybody's, like, at this point, everybody's got a start so far already, and they will over the next couple of weeks in the cup. But whenever we go into the chunk of these games in November or October, so everybody's going to be needed. So it's a good place to be at the minute.
And in terms of trying to prioritise, because the North West Cup semi-final, you know, there's a chance to get to a final there, but, you know, an Irish Cup run would be nice. The League Cup, you're, you know, looking into the next round of that already. So how do you balance that? That's always the one thing I wonder when it comes to picking a team, because, look, I heard Ange Postecoglou being, you know, chastised about the team selection he put out at Fulham. He said, well, look, mate, I don't ever try lose games. Sometimes we just do.
Well, it is. You're totally right. And the staff, we've had, you know, long conversations with that over the last week. You know, the Irish Cup, we have to get through four rounds before we get into the big team. So, like, I think there's the second round, which, you know, you want to get, you know, you're bringing young players that want to play against Premier League players. We're bringing Premier League players like Parky and all out. But one and all go with that. So, we'll totally respect that. Cup to the North West, as you say, we're in a semi-final. So, we're one game away from a final, two games away from a trophy. The Craig Memorial, a quarter-final, that's a regional cup that, you know, for me, that we want to be one of the favourites for that, so we want to be one in that as well. So, an Intermediate Cup obviously has got the Windsor Park experience at the end of that. So, it is, yes, we will probably prioritise, but, you know, at this point, like, we want to be progressing, and as you said, a bit of what Ant says, you, like, we've got a lot of momentum at the minute. We've won all six games this season, and we don't want to be taking the foot off the gas, but, and you know, we will be respectful of competitions, but, and there will be changes, but, like, any time I make changes or feel the team, I'll definitely 100% feel that I've got enough to get us over the line. Like, I'm not disrespecting any other competitions.
And now, I mean, going so well as you are, I would imagine I know the answer to this, but no regrets or no second thoughts about getting back into management again, you know, because people always say when you're doing well and you're coaching, oh, right, stepping back into management, there's no guarantees there. Maybe there's not many guarantees in football anyway, but you seem like a very happy man with the decision you've made and how it's all going.
Well, one of the big reasons looking back was Mrs. was pregnant, so we've got a 13-week-old son at the house, so that keeps me close by, which is obviously great. And my oldest son comes with me every Saturday, which he absolutely loves. That's his favourite part of the week. So in terms of family life, yes, it's great. But in terms of missing Corey in, I genuinely haven't had a minute to miss it. Whenever you're a manager, it's literally 24/7. Still, we'll talk about the Owen and Stevie Lurie and, you know, a couple of players, but you know, you generally haven't even time to lie and think and reflect. It's just like, even whenever I was there the first time, we were pretty successful, and like I won a win of trophies, and I don't even remember enjoying it. I remember going on a summer holiday and you're ringing players and things like this. You just have to just keep going and moving forward. So you haven't time to sit and reflect, and hopefully if we won a trophy or two this time, that's one thing I have learned, that I'll just make sure I enjoy the success if it comes.
Well, keep on going like you are, and there'll be trophies on the way. There's a little doubt in my mind about that. Paul, great to have you on the programme. Continued best wishes for the season, and thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you, Michael. All the best.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And that brings us neatly to the end of another week here on The Score. Thank you so much for your company. I hope you enjoyed the programme. Remember, you can stay in touch with us at The Score NI on Facebook, on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you're listening via the podcast, make sure you subscribe, make sure you follow. If you can, leave a review, because it all helps the show. We'll be back again next week to do it all again. But until then, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.